ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। पितरि ब्रह्मसिद्धे स्थानाद् इन्द्राण्या दर्शनाद्विचाय प्रापिते जगरत्वं वाय ययातिरभवन् नृपा। Because Nahusha, the father of Yayati, molested Indra's wife, Sachi, who then complained to Agastya and other Brahmins, these saintly Brahmins cursed Nahusha to fall from the heavenly planets and be degraded to the status of a python. Consequently, Yayati became the king. King Yayati had four younger brothers whom he allowed to rule the four directions. Yayati himself married Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya, and Sarmishta, the daughter of Vrishaparva, and ruled the entire earth. Maharaj Parikshit said, Shukracharya was a very powerful Brahmin, and Maharaj Yayati was a Kshatriya. Therefore, I am curious to know how there occurred this Pratiloma marriage between a Kshatriya and a Brahmin. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, marriages between Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas, or Brahmins and Brahmins, are the general custom. If marriages sometimes take place between different classes, these marriages are of two types, namely Anuloma and Pratiloma. Anuloma marriage between a Brahmin and the daughter of a Kshatriya is permissible, but Pratiloma marriage between a Kshatriya and the daughter of a Brahmin is not generally allowed. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was curious about how Shukracharya, a powerful Brahmin, could accept the principle of Pratiloma. Maharaj Parikshit was eager to know the cause for this uncommon marriage. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 18. King Yayati regains his youth. Texts 3 through 5. In this narration, Shukadeva Goswami is sharing with Parikshit Maharaj many great lessons are there. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam, is the spotless Purana, manifesting the highest level of unalloyed pure devotional service, which culminates in the beautiful pastimes of Krishna's life in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. In the ninth canto wherein we are reading, we are leading up to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam provides us perfect examples of how to live as a pure devotee, as well as the pitfalls, the dangers of what a devotee must be very aware of. And therefore there are stories which illustrate people having serious difficulty, who are not illustrating pure unalloyed devotion. Prahlad was a Mahabhagavat in the womb of his mother and throughout every phase of his life. Sukadev Goswami, Ambarish, Dhruva Maharaj became a Mahabhagavat at the age of 5. But there are other stories which show us how the twists and the turns of destiny can implicate and complicate our lives. But the conclusion of all these stories is always to bring us to the highest lessons. Just like we read about Maharaj Bharat in the 5th canto. He was a very, very great devotee and king, but due to somehow or other becoming trapped by destiny, there was a great impediment in his spiritual life. He went to the Himalayas for the purpose of self-realization. Bharat Maharaj gave up his kingdom, his everything, only for that purpose. He had no ulterior motives. But the nature of the world is such. There was a lion chasing a deer, and the deer frantically jumped across the Gandaki River. And there the lion roared, and the deer became so afraid she had a miscarriage, and the little baby came out of her and fell into the river. And the mother deer couldn't swim. She was on the other side. She died. She couldn't tolerate seeing her child in this state. And obviously, infant children, even humans, what to speak of deers, who are born just seconds before, they don't know swimming. So this deer was in this very fast rushing current of a Himalayan river. And naturally, out of compassion, Bharat picked up the deer, saved its life. But then he was the only person in the forest who's going to, now that he saved the deer, he couldn't just leave it to die. He had to take care of it. He had to be that helpless deer who was totally dependent on someone. He had to be the mother, the father, the everything. He didn't mean it that way. Somehow or other it happened. The nature of destiny in the world. And in the process of taking care of the deer, he became very attached to the deer. And gradually, his attachment was not just for the soul, not just for the body and mind, but it became a very material attachment. There's a very subtle and fine line of demarcation between material and spiritual. And Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us the very subtleties which are crucial to know if we want to make true spiritual advancement. What is material philanthropy and welfare work, which is certainly in the mode of goodness? And what is transcendental devotional service, which is above the modes of nature? The Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us we have to come to the mode of goodness before we could transcend the modes. And many of the Vedic literatures are specifically meant to somehow or other get people to rise through the modes of ignorance and passion and bring them to mode of goodness. Specifically so that eventually they can transcend the modes of nature, which is the whole purpose of all the Vedas. Vedaish cha sarvar aham eva vedyo vedanta kudit veda vedeva chaham. Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam. Abandon all these dharmas of the Vedas and just surrender to me. Krishna also tells in Gita that the Vedic literatures are filled with flowery words to improve the quality of one's life and material existence. Give them up. Be established in the self. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraiguna Bhavarjuna. They mainly deal with the three modes of nature. So yes, it is crucial that we bring people to the mode of goodness. These four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating, are not spiritual in and of themselves. They help to bring us to the mode of goodness. And in that mode of goodness, when we chant the holy names of Krishna and render devotional service to Krishna, we transcend material existence. So it's important in our society to elevate people to the mode of goodness. But the fine, subtle line of Srimad Bhagavatam in this story of Bharat Maharaj is when you're transcending the modes of nature, it's a great fall down to come back to the mode of goodness. And forget the transcendental loving service between the eternal soul and Bhagavan or God. So somehow or other, by circumstances, he was just trying to be nice, that's all. He wasn't cruel, he wasn't evil, he wasn't selfish, he wasn't egoistic. He was just trying to be good and help someone who was in desperate need. But because he was not very, very careful, and he had no good association to warn him about what was happening. The story very much illustrates the need for association, even on very high levels of Krishna consciousness. So he became attached, and his next life he became a deer. He lost his human birth. But because of his devotion, neha vikramanat sosti pratyavayo nividyate, because of his very high level of devotion, Krishna gave him the opportunity to remember his past life. Can you imagine walking around the forest as a deer, knowing that you were a king, knowing that you were this far from pure love of God and ecstatic perfection of life, and now this is where you are? So the Bhagavatam teaches, even if you made a mistake, you could transform that mistake into something glorious. And Bharat Maharaj, he didn't do anything deers do. Normally, he associated with sadhus. Wherever there was Hari Katha going on in the forest, he would just be close by listening. He fixed his mind on Krishna. And in his next birth, he became Jad Bharat. And then as Jad Bharat, he took the role of an avaduta by his own purposes and was ridiculed, criticized, condemned. People tried to murder him because he looked so stupid. But he liked that because it's very conducive to his Krishna consciousness. And in the end, he became the guru for the king. And that was his perfection. So in this story, we also find the subtle dangers of material existence, how different people in different situations, both Bharat Maharaj and Yayati, were Kshatriyas, coming from very, very royal, divine families. Yayati was in a family that soon after Krishna was going to take birth in. So, I'm not going to speak too much of this story because other speakers will. But in brief, Shukracharya, very powerful Brahman, guru for the Asuras. But we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, things are not always so black and white. Shukracharya speaks some of the greatest wisdom of the Bhagavatam. And at the same time, he does so many other things. But in any case, he's an extremely powerful Brahmin. And his daughter Devayani was good friends with Sarmishta, who was the daughter of a king. She was a princess. And they were having so much nice times together. They were roaming through some forest, and there were so many maidservants and other people there and friends, and they went into a lake, and there was lotus flowers and humming bees, and it was beautiful weather. It was just such a nice day to enjoy. And they were splashing each other and laughing and exchanging their hearts' affection for each other. And it was just perfect day for happiness on this material plane. But things could change our happiness in so many ways. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There are so many uncertainties. You know, there could have been an earthquake. Could have been a tsunami. Could have been a rakshasa that came out. Could have been a swarm of mosquitoes. So many things could happen at any moment. Well, in this case, there was just a simple mistake. After they came out of the water, Sarmishta, who was a princess, accidentally got her clothes mixed up with Devayani, who was a Brahmin, and she put on Devayani's clothes. Now, does that sound really bad to you? Well, for Devayani, this was unbearable. Somehow or other, Sarmishta didn't even mean it. She just accidentally put on her friend's clothes. And Devayani, how dare you, of a lower caste than me, to put on my clothes? It is, what are the examples she's using? Like the dog snatching the butter that's meant to be offered in a sacrifice to Vishnu. Pretty big insult. And she went on and on talking about, she just lost control. She became angry. That Brahmins are the heads of society and they are giving the truth, and you Kshatriyas are completely depending upon us. and you have taken the sacred property of Brahman for yourself. Very harsh. And Sarmishta's a Kshatriya. So she got really angry. And she said, "You Brahmins are just a bunch of beggars. You're like useless crows that just hang around our house waiting for us to throw you scraps." And then Sarmishta picked up Devayani and threw her like a scrap into a well. And here's Devayani just, she doesn't have any clothes on. And there's no clothes. She's just laying in this well, naked. And Sarmishta went home in a huff. And everybody went with her. So, our beloved King Yayati. His eldest brother, Yati, refused the kingdom because he didn't want to be implicated with all material stuff. He wanted to tread the path of self-realization. And then his father, because his father got implicated with another man's wife, he was cursed to become a snake. And all of a sudden, in his prime of his youth, Yayati is the king of the world. Just trying to do good. And he's going through the forest, and he gets really thirsty. Destiny is so thorough. When destiny wants to test you, they're just so minute, thorough in the details of how it's going to get you, and you have to be so strong to be able to maintain your standards, your ideals. So he goes to the well, just like any other well. He goes to get water, and he sees this beautiful Brahmin young girl with no clothes on. And she sees him and she cries out, "Help me, save me, save me." So what is he supposed to do? Kind of like Bharat Maharaj with the deer. Is he going to just let her die? He's the king. He has to save his citizens. A king must give shelter to anyone who takes shelter. So first thing he did is he took off his outer cloth, his upper cloth, and threw it down to her to put on like clothes. So she wrapped herself up, and then he reached his hand down, and with his mighty Kshatriya strength, he pulled her up. And she said, "Because you have held my hand in this way." "Now I accept you to be my husband." She said that previously she had been cursed that she wasn't allowed to marry a Brahmin. So this is destiny. It's destiny. I'm bent to be married to you. I'm the daughter of Shukracharya. So the king, you know, "Let's go talk to your father, you know." And Shukracharya gave his blessings. But at the same time, you know, that they were married, Devayani told her father about what Sarmishta did to him. So Shukracharya was very angry, and he went to really chastise Sarmishta's father. And he came raging with anger, "How you have defied the integrity of my daughter." And when Sarmishta's father heard about this, he became really afraid. So he came out and fell at Shukracharya's feet and worshipped him very, very nicely. And then Shukracharya said, "Okay, I forgive you, but now that my daughter is Devayani is married to King Ayati, your daughter has to be her slave for the rest of her life. So he said, yes, yes, of course, gladly. She will be her maidservant. So things were going on nicely, and Devayani was pregnant with the child. Things were very happy. But King Ayati, destiny was working in its own mysterious ways on that king. He was trying to do good. And for the rest of the story, you're going to have to hear whoever gives class tomorrow. But Sharmishto is very powerful in her own right. And she took shelter of King Ayati, and he gave her shelter. And what to do? When Shukracharya found out about that, he was so angry that he cursed King Ayati to lose his youth, to be a decrepit old man. Now, here he is. One day, he's at the peak of his youth, and the next day, he's just totally an invalid old man. And he fell at the feet of Shukracharya and begged forgiveness and told him, just give me my youth back and I promise I'll do everything you say and I'll be so good. And Shukracharya said, I can't give you your youth back, but if you could find someone to trade your old age with their youth, then I'll allow that to happen. Now who's going to do that? He went to his eldest son, Yadu, and said, I want to enjoy my life. Please give me your youth, and I'll give you my old age. Because I'm your father, and Dharma is a son must follow the word of the father. Yadu refused. Said, I don't want to be old like this just because of you, your offenses. So he refused. And then Yadu was the son of Devayani. And then he went to others, his other children. They all refused. And then he went to his youngest son, Puru, who was the son of Sharmishta, and asked him, you take my old age, my invalidity, and I will take your youth. And Puru said, yes, it will be done. I must follow what my father wishes. Now, Puru is glorious because of that sacrifice for his father. The other sons are condemned because they didn't follow the father. But Yadu is the most glorious because he refused for a higher purpose. Yadu knew that he was destined to have Krishna in his family line. The Supreme Personality as Godhead was going to become in the Yadu dynasty. So for the purpose of loving devotional service to Krishna, to facilitate Krishna's appearance, he refused his father. Sarva Dharman put it, Jaja. If we violate Dharma for our own material purposes, there will be a reaction, a karmic reaction. But if we violate Dharma for the highest Dharma of Krishna's will, then that is transcendental. So ultimately, everything just, Srimad Bhagavatam, so nice, because King Ayati was, after some time, he became so disgusted with himself. He was suffering so bad. He told his wife, I am like a he-goat and you are like a she-goat and we're just living like goats. Some other interesting developments happened in the destiny of King Yayati during this time. But ultimately, he gave his youth back to Puru, and Puru ruled the world and was a great saint, Rajarishi, and Yayati became a self-realized soul. Through it all, he learned his lessons. And at the same time, Shukadev Goswami, by telling these particular stories, is teaching us so many lessons. Destiny is such that things happen. And in order to be protected, we need really good association and we need to understand the subtleties of what can bring us up and what can bring us down. But in the end, where there is genuine sincerity, Krishna will use whatever may have been to bring us to his loving service. Srila Prabhupada explained, anybody who comes to this Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna is going to help them go back to Godhead. But if they're not very careful, on the way back to Godhead, they may have to take some detours and suffer miserably in those detours. But eventually, they're going to come back because they've one time cried out Krishna's name with sincerity.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Speaking on the subject of crying out Krishna's name with sincerity and the twists of destiny, I'd like to discuss very briefly the subject of today's holy day that we are commemorating, the appearance day of Srivas Thakur, who is one of the members of the Panchatattva. Srivas Thakur is an incarnation of Narada Muni, who is a central figure in the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Srimad Bhagavatam,